Hi, my name is Nicole, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, my name is Calvin, and I am a fake fan.
Hi, Calvin.
Hi, my name is Tristan, and I'm a fake fan.
Hi, Tristan. Today we watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarves from the year 1937. Wow, this is the first animated feature film.
I'm going to stop you right there. First American animated feature film.
Whoa.
IMDb didn't say where the other two were from. They're just lost films. But this is the first United States feature-length animated film.
Wow. And it's preserved incredibly well. Now, I believe this is like a 4K restoration on Disney Plus now, right? So... I think so. That they made a huge hullabaloo about it when they released Disney Plus. Like, we're releasing from the Disney Vault. And that actually made me think about like how you remember like in the DVDs, like they're like releasing from the Disney Vault.
Yeah, like 101 Dalmatians or some shit.
Yeah, because of awesome. Disney Plus, is the vault like obsolete now?
No, they still haven't released some stuff from it. It's not on, like the entire thing is not on Disney Plus. Oh, but they've released some of like their high quality restorations or whatnot. Maybe at some point they will release all of them, but like things like Song of the South, is Song of the South on Disney Plus yet?
That's deep in the fucking vault, yeah, baby.
That's collecting dust in the vault. It's not coming out anytime
soon. Also, I would just like to put this out there. If any Disney cell restorers would like to hire me, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm a fast learner and I will go to graduate school if you would like me to. Thank you.
Good plug. Yeah.
But it made me think about how there are a lot of Disney films that we can't experience anymore, or before at least Disney Plus, we could only experience with like a DVD level compression. Like we couldn't get it high quality. And now we're beginning to see it again in high quality. And seeing Snow White on the projector instead of like my parents' old CRTV kind of thing, it's special.
Projector hits different.
It reminds me of Wizard of Oz, how like people before VHS and DVDs grew up watching it like on TV, but like black and white TV. So they never knew the experience of watching Dorothy go into Oz in color until it came out on those kind of things. I imagine a world where you can't just like pop up a movie whenever you want. Like what a sad world.
Well, that's like part of watching this movie is like what you said about there's a $5 gag rule or something like that?
Yeah. There was like Walt Disney had a $5 a gag rule where anytime an animator would come up with a gag for the movie, they'd get $5.
Well, I was thinking about how this, every frame is just chock full of characters and gags where I'm thinking like, yeah, if I'm back in 1930s, I might pay several times to go see the movie again because there's just so much more to experience every time. Mm-hmm. New characters to look at in the frame, new parts to just listen to, and you can't just look it up somewhere and, you know, watch it again. You have to go to the theater again and get the full experience on the whole big screen, the whole whatever stereo systems they've set up or whatnot. So
yeah, like just watching it, like the cleaning scene, the whistle while you work scene, you almost watch about 30 different ways animals can dust a house. And that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, I just watched animals dust a house, but it was different every single time. And that was like really cool. Like I don't even know how I could begin to think about even 5 different ways animals could dust, you know?
Mm-hmm. I loved it. That animation is just so full of fun. It's why Disney was the best.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't even said who's the fake fan today. So, Nicole, are you a fake fan of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves?
No, I'm not a fake fan.
I am not a fake fan of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Huh. Tristan, are you a fake fan of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves?
Well, I guess it narrows it down. Yes, I am a fake fan of Snow White and the Seven Dorks.
we're here for you. That's why we have these meetings.
Thanks, man. There's a lot of pre-1990s Disney that I haven't seen. I have faint memories of some. Like, I'm thinking of The Little Mermaid, which I also haven't seen. But I remember, like, seeing it over my sister's shoulder, like, her watching it. And I have faint memories of that. I don't think I have a single memory of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. I really don't. seen like Bambi. I've seen Peter Pan. I think I've seen like clips and like all greatest movies of all time, but I've never sat down and watched this.
I gotta hand it to my parents for somehow having this VHS collection of all these like classic Disney movies that I was able to watch.
I had it on VHS. I had the movie. I just did not watch it.
It's all part of the recovery process. It's all part of the step plan. Step one, grab the VHS tape. Step two, put in the VCR player. But I guess today we can't do that, huh?
Let me say that again. Step one, grab the VHS. Step two, give it to Goodwill because you have Disney Plus now, baby.
Oh my God.
Please sponsor us, Disney Plus.
Yes, and give me a job.
Yeah. You need a production assistant. I like to call them production bitch.
You We're can call a set. Me that. Big fans of the set. We all have skills that can be put to use. Mm-hmm. Disney, please hire us. We'd be
Disney,
excellent.
Please, I need that Disney money.
But Tristan, what did you think about Snow White and Seven Dwarfs?
I thought it was pretty good. Let me formulate a thought real quick. I thought it was pretty good.
okay, Nicole.
I think the animation was really nice. Like, props to those people who, if I had to animate, like, frames by hand, like, because this is before, I don't know how animation works.
So I think they had, like, the scenery shots, right? And then over it would be the cells, right?
Yeah, so it's a multi-layered glass pane system where, yeah, on the bottom layer you have, you know, your background. Then in your mid layers you have all the elements of animated like characters or whatnot that you're putting into place. The top layer you have the foreground elements, so like some of the tree brushes that are in the middle of the frame that like cross paths with the camera or whatnot. And then all the way on top is a camera where every time there's a frame they click it and it moves one frame, and so they have to do that for the entire thing. Now fortunately, some of this is drawn, hand drawn, like each frame. Some of this is hand drawn with a reference of like an actual human being on a camera in a soundstage. So that's where a lot of Snow White's actions are. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of tell because, you know, her body proportions are human, whereas like the dwarves are not. They're a bit more liquidy, and, you know, like they look like balloons sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that can be a good assistant. But yeah, back then it's all hand drawn. It's all the way hand drawn. I mean, what, until the 80s, 90s even, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, it looks great. I mean, Snow White's kind of scary, and the prince is kind of scary, but the dwarves are very animated enough to where I'm like, oh yeah, these are Disney characters. And even the witch, like the queen, like I can be like, oh yeah, she's a Disney character. But you did bring up rotoscoping at the beginning, and I can obviously tell that Snow White and the prince are rotoscoped, but it always makes me think of Linklater's Waking Life. Gosh, I hate how that film looks. I hate how that film looks. It looks so gross. But these guys, Disney knows how to rotoscope better. Because, man, Waking Life looks so gross. It gives me a headache when I watch it. It looks so bad.
Shout out to the Alex Jones scenes in Waking Life. The animation is... That's what blows me away with the animation quality. I'm actually reading a biography about Disney right now. And yeah, just kind of you open your mind up to like, oh shit, all this has to be done. All this has to be physically done by someone. Someone has to like load the film into the camera. You know, someone has to move these glass panes. And it's just an amazing feat. And that's, I take it with so much more appreciation now watching movies like this. Nicole, did you have any thoughts about watching this again for how many times you probably watched this? Or have you not really watched this?
I don't think I watched it a lot. I think the last time I watched it was about two Thanksgivings ago.
Yeah, that's pretty recent still.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's on the background while we're cooking and stuff.
While you work?
Yeah. I love the Silly Symphonies so much. I've watched all of them, like, a bajillion times. And you can tell there's that transition in, like, watching the Silly Symphonies to Walt being like, all right, let's make a freaking feature that looks like this stuff. And it does feel like a level up from when you watch Silly Symphonies. I wouldn't say Silly Symphonies are messy, but it's just different. And Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is a level up from that Silly Symphonies vibe. Like, with the animals, those are totally, like, Silly Symphony animals.
Well, Silly Symphonies is Disney at his low budget.
Right.
Struggling to have a career. Struggling to, like, even make money. Because, like, you know, he was getting screwed by the distributors back then. We're like, oh, thanks for drawing this rabbit character. We're taking the IP now. You don't own any of this. Sorry. And we're not paying you for anything anymore. We can hire someone else to animate this character now. So, like, Disney was scrounging to do something. And, yeah, Silly Symphonies is, like, him at his lowest budget. And now Snow White, him at his starting to get high budget, you know. And that's where he's grown up so much at that point. It's, you know, and one thing that I think about is how Walt, he's got so much imagination in him. Because for me, like, I got into mumblecore in college. And that's, like, the total opposite. Like, you're just trying to, like, go for, like, I'm going for something raw and gritty. And like, it's these people talking in an apartment for 90 minutes. Like, it's not imaginative. And I've been, like, trying for the last year to, like, get more imagination inside of me. Like, it's something that, like, has to be grown. And watching this, like, damn, these guys have so much imagination. They can, like what you said with the cleaning scene, like, yeah, they have to imagine all these different ways that are going to be on screen for just a few seconds, but different ways that animals can use their tail and, you know, their body language and, you know, their, like, all these different ways of just operating things in a room for a whole song. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I'm just amazed by all of that.
I keep thinking about how I really kind of like everyone except Snow White.
Oh my God.
First off, Snow White looks scary. I don't know if it's just the audio quality, but she sounds scary.
Oh my God.
She sings high notes and it almost feels like she's screaming at me.
True. Yeah.
A friend who I don't know if I'll name, he's told me before that he doesn't like watching old Disney movies because he said that, like, the audio quality would scare him as a kid. Snow White, I can see it for sure. But I remember watching some old Mickey Mouse cartoons growing up, so it's not like it's a horrifying thing to me, but it's more of a comforting thing. But Snow White's a different level. She is a different level. I like the dwarves. I think the dwarves are charming. I always like a good villain, and I feel like the queen has a commanding enough presence to be mm-hmm. interesting. But man, Snow White is just terrifying.
I thought that too, and I was like thinking in my head, like, who in the right mind, like, said yes to this Snow White voice? Like, I was really trying to think about it throughout the movie. Like, I was kind of looking up stuff on my phone. I mean, I've seen it before, so I don't feel like I'm gonna be super attentive, but I, like, was just like thinking about it, and honestly, like, this is the first iconic princess. And if you think about kind of like the stereotype of the princess look, especially back then, it's very much like, I'm a princess and I do this. And, like, especially if you look at it from, I'll just call it the Disney style, it is very much that. Like, the stereotypes of, like, a princess and doing this and that, and that you see in the Silly Symphonies, and now this is, like, the voice of that.
Well, that's something that Disney does over his career, which is create for us our basically the mental model we have for, like, this platonic ideal of what everything is, what true love is, even, you know, like, from that all the way down to, like, the physical things. But, like, people didn't really always think of animals as exactly as cutesy as we do now because of him, you know, like he, his work, his career is basically this long path of creating in our minds what are the ideals. But I think Snow White is actually more similar to, who was that one lady in, It Happened One Night?
Oh, Claudette Colbert.
Yeah. Like, I feel like she's taking on that kind of 1930s shrilly, actress type of stuff, you know, like, that's,
I think she looks scary. Okay. This is probably why I think she looks scary, because if you think about the actresses of the time, like, Clara Bow, or, I mean, that's like 20s, but
same-ish era.
Yeah, yeah, or even like any of those like 1930s actresses, their eyebrows are super fucking thin. It's called like the half moon eyebrow. They do the exaggerated cheeks, like the blush, the lips. It's very, and the hair is like super 1930s. Mm-hmm. And
even like the roundness of her face too.
It's a very much like that is the look to the 1930s. And I feel like that is why she can look scary, because when you translate like thin eyebrows, harsh cheeks, like creepy little lips, like that's what you get. But I feel like maybe in the minds of people in the 30s, it translated better on screen.
If you don't want to sleep tonight, look up Snow White with no eyebrows.
They look old to us now because obviously they were made in like 30s, 40s, 50s. But Sleeping Beauty is 50s, I believe. And you can tell from her hair and her features, it feels very 50s. Which I like looked at this thing and they're like, these are the time periods. Like, and I was like, oh, that makes so much sense why they look like that. Like they it was on purpose to mimic stars of then or like the styles that were in.
Because yeah, we
look at it like today. It's supposed to be medieval, but when you look at Sleeping Beauty, you're like, that could also be the 50s.
She was designed, I think, by the same animators that did Betty Boop, and who? I can definitely see that.
Sleeping Beauty, or Snow White?
No, Snow White. Snow White.
Okay, yeah. Oh, for sure, and the voice. Yeah. That style of voice, I think, was really popular for women's voices in like cartoons and stuff at that time. Mm-hmm. Just like the high pitch, like this is a girl.
I mean, they say like Lauren Bacall starts moving female stars' voices down, really. Like she plays the husky.
Yeah.
So before her, really, I mean, yeah, you go to an acting coach, voice coaches or whatnot, you know, the studio hires one for you. Yeah, they're going to suggest like, oh, no, higher, you know, try to play that dainty, shrilly little higher voice kind of thing. And that makes sense. But again, it's a little creepy. And I think if you have the wrong sound system, that could probably hurt your ears here, too.
Oh, my God, yeah. Her singing, though, like, could pop off.
When speakers broke, it's like...
Oh, my God. No, it's good, though. Like, this movie's so fun. I don't know. Just, Disney shines when he animates animals. So it's like, It feels so good when you watch that part.
How would you rank this among other Disney classics?
Ooh, I mean, what, we're talking all the way to like the 60s kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like through like the Cinderella, through Sleeping Beauty, Bambi, all those.
Well, he keeps getting better each time, you know? Like I said with Mary Poppins, like that was the best part of his career and the one of the best movies of all time. Mm-hmm. That like that's what his career is leading up to. So this being like one of his first things, you know, it's great. But yeah, I can't say it's the greatest. I can't say it stands up to the rest of his career.
For me, it's hard to rank Disney movies because of that. Because each time that this movie was made, he was the innovator at the time. I also see things through the lens of like, this was Snow. It was like the first big deal for Disney. Like, okay, so it's going to be one of the best ones because it's his first big deal. And like, it meant a lot.
Yeah, because I can only compare these to like the 90s ones, and It's like, well, that's when the stories get more fleshed out and like almost every character has dimension, whereas I think the most dimensional character in this is probably Grumpy. He's the only one that really has an arc.
Well, I think these movies too, a lot of it is like okay, we have the story, we already know, you know, like True Love's First Kiss, Awake of the Princess, like that's totally basic. So I feel like with these movies you almost have to put the story thing aside and be like, this is a really good piece of art for the time. Like, I think it was all about like the art. It wasn't about the story.
And it's also much more like a Broadway musical in the sense, like if you were to go see Anything Goes or you see Hello Dolly, like it's all about the song and dance and the story is just there to kind of piece everything together. Same thing with Snow White in a major sense. It's like these great, beautiful moments where you just see the interaction of animation, color and music. And I don't really need to think too much deeper about it, but that's also like, that's what it is. Those musicals also come from that era that this is coming from. It's all the same thing in the sense of it's entertainment in that way. Then you have like in 1990s, like Pocahontas, it's not even portrayed in any way that's kind of like a musical. Like you can't imagine it like on stage cleanly, but that's because they're using computers and they're opening the new doors of animation at that time. So just different. This is just different.
This is also a kid's movie, so I'm not going to like give it too much like, oh, why isn't there fully developed? Where's the plot? Where's the lore in this? Especially in the 1930s, because, I mean, it's still And I'm sure they took it seriously. I mean, this is the first fully length animated film, but there's always that argument with animated movies. It's like, oh, this is only for kids. What's this got to do with me? And I've had this like conversation with people when I worked at Family Video and I was trying to get people to see Spider-Verse, and a bunch of these adults were like, it's a kids movie. Why would I watch that? So I could see it for that reason too. But also because, you know, a lot of movies at that time were also story-wise pretty just basic, and it was more of an experience instead of like now when you would go and want to see a really deep character study or a really like epic film that explores all these themes and stuff.
And it's also a fairy tale, so it's like it's more parable-esque, where like, yeah, why do we have seven dwarves? Well, partially it's so that way we can piece out a kind of traditional, almost biblical way of understanding human emotions. Like it's symbolic. It's super symbolic in their storytelling than it would be today. Like we wouldn't have that kind of way of storytelling. So it's just a very different mode of telling story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I loved it. Like I said, like I'm just really wowed by the imagination. Like when Snow White is running through the trees for that first time, and everything's coming to life, and you know, they've animated where parts of the forest have eyeballs suddenly, and then oh wow, it looks like an alligator, of course, kind of thing, or the tree branches turn into fingers. Like that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. I'm just wowed by it all.
So it's interesting to see how far animation came, because last night I watched Mitchells vs. the Machines, which is really good. It's Lord and Miller, so like Spider-Verse, Lego Movie, they produced it. But it's just interesting to see from the first, and because this one, as the first American animated film, is still so good. I think it could look like it was just a hand-drawn movie that was made recently. Like it still stands up. But it's just because Mitchells vs. the Machines looks so beautiful, and just how animation just keeps building off of each one. It's just nice.
But well, that about does it for this episode, I think. Big fan of Disney. Are we gonna keep doing Disney movies for the rest of the month, maybe? Or we're gonna do
don't
a series?
Say month. Don't yeah, say yeah, anything oh, yeah. of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we gonna do more Disney movies?
Sure.
What other movies are you on your list?
I haven't seen Sleeping Beauty. I don't remember seeing Cinderella. Little Mermaid. I've seen Bambi.
Is Little Mermaid like the 90s one though?
90s.
Yeah.
It's 80s. Oh, 80s? It's probably 89. Like 89. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I get confused.
It's basically part of the Renaissance. I think it's the only Renaissance one it started the Renaissance, and it's the only Renaissance one I haven't seen. So.
Well, for all of you guys who have missed out on early Disney, I mean, we're talking about the foundations of animation. We're talking about the foundations of pop culture. You gotta see these movies. You gotta experience them at least once. Any other thoughts from you guys about experiencing Disney movies, animations for the first time?
Disney.
Yeah. No thoughts, just Disney.
No thoughts, just Disney.
All right, you want to give us our send-off?
Yeah, thanks for joining this meeting of Fake Fans Anonymous. If you join us, we'll be having soup, but you better wash up first.
Oh, get up.
Hey, this apple looks really good.
Calvin, no!
Oh
Calvin!
My God, not the-